You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you and all the 24 time zones on planet Earth.
He's jazzing it.
Welcome to The Real Short Box audio podcast.
Shoot a box, boop, box.
And let me introduce you to my co-host and co-conspirators. First, you know this man. He's a madman from Ohio. He is Bruce Campbell's number two fan. The ladies love him for some strange reason. He is simply known as the original Dono.
What up?
Shibbidi-ba-da-da.
Skibbidi-ba-ba-ba.
Next, we go to a man who grew up in the hard streets of Los Angeles, California. A man who is the precious one. A man who has great knowledge. A man who is a Hulkamaniac for life. He is simply the ravishing Raphael.
Showtime.
Hello.
A humble man.
Do-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah. He just made his own intro.
Next, we go to a man who also grew up on these hard streets of Los Angeles. He grew up in the San Fernando Valley. He is...
West Side.
He is the Chinese Armenian Dream Man. He is simply known as the Sensational One.
Shibbidi-bop-bop-bop, guys.
I want you to talk like this the entire time. You have to do it.
50s or something.
Yeah.
Last and but not least, a first-time guest and co-host on The Real Short Box.
Oh, shit.
He is a man who comes and born and bred in that wonderful county of Riverside. Is that right, sir?
Santa Clarita.
Go on off.
He is a man who is a loyal listener of The Real Short Box and, of course, our live stream Monday show, Rumble Pop. Give it up for Big Sack! And I forgot to add, you are a man who's skilled in dropping bars.
I do dabble in bars.
Yes.
Yeah. You're skilled in
There's a couple of things he's good at dropping.
I don't know about that. No? That's your fantasy. And of course, you...
What?
You all know who I am. I am the Grand Master of the Jedi and Vulcan Arts, your Supreme Chancellor, Brother Kevin. Tonight or today, we are going to...
Tomorrow, this afternoon.
That's an apt way to say it, because you're essentially a villain.
That's good. I don't mind being a villain. It's fun to be the villain.
He's played the villain his entire life.
You know, it's fun to be the villain.
The villain or the victim?
Well, sometimes it's both.
What?
You can be both, dude. You can be
both. He starts out as a villain and becomes a victim.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about today?
Well, the Sensational One just brought it up. Villains. We're going to talk about our favorite villains and basically our favorite key issues where these villains first appear.
So we can only talk about a book if we own it.
Well, supposedly that's what rough.
So Showtime wants to talk about X-Men number one.
So he can't.
Oh!
You know, the funny part is, well, fuck you guys, because I own a facsimile. So
oh!
And you guys can't talk about books that are missing pages.
Ouch! That's brutal.
That leaves out Catwoman and the Galactus for me. Yeah.
Jesus, okay. Have mercy.
What about stolen books?
Talk about a book of a villain of first appearance, of a book that means something to you. Throw a book out there. Talk about a book that either you're out to look for, you've already obtained, or it's slipped through your fingers.
Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Let us start with our first-time guest. Let's start with Big Sal.
You want to throw him under the bus right away?
Because he's the guest. Give him an opportunity.
All good. And feel free to laugh when he gives you the shitty book he's going to
say. Oh, come on. Have mercy on him.
It is what it is, but it's basically Fantastic Four 49, first appearance of Galactus.
He told you he was going to talk. You know what? Why don't you team up with him on this one, Kevin, since that's also your favorite?
It's okay. That's
your favorite. Well, it's okay. It's your guess. I'm a really big Galactus fan because I just love his story. I don't see him as a villain. He's just guy that's trying to survive.
How is he not a villain?
Well,
because he's just trying to survive, and the only way he can survive,
he's part of nature. He's basically like a freaking...
He's not trying to survive because he's devouring plants.
Here's the sustenance. Thing. Would you eat a chicken if the chicken was like, hey man, like, I thought we were cool. Like, it just started talking to you. Like,
we are. Hey, you're making, you're helping me live.
Isn't that the basic idea of vegetarianism?
Galactus, just saying.
Galactus devours plants whether he needs it or not. He just devours. So he doesn't go and say, I'm starting to run low. Let me find a plant.
I thought he did. I thought he said, yeah. I hunger, and then that's why,
yeah,
he ate,
but
the
he's
plant.
Always hungry. There's no way for him to be full. Mm-hmm. He's always hungering for more power. So he has all these heralds that go out and find these planets, mm-hmm. but there's no end.
Well, his hunger could never end. He's a
apparently
force of
he's
nature.
He's so hungry he's that he can't go out and find his own food.
He's a force of nature.
He's basically me when I go eat sushi, like all you can eat. You know what I mean? Like,
he sends out. You send out. Your
That's what Uber Eats is.
Find me my sushi spot. You
know,
like,
there you go.
But no, I like Galactus because, like honestly, like it takes a whole bunch of superheroes to try to take this monster down. And
inevitably, it's always the Fantastic Four.
Which I don't understand why. Because
Ultimate Nullifier.
They should just, Colossus should have just thrown
or
green at him.
Franklin Richards, who made him his herald at one point.
Yeah.
Made who his herald?
Galactus.
Galactus made Franklin his herald?
No, vice versa. Franklin Richards made Galactus.
Franklin, oh. the child.
Yeah, there's like a line at the Future Foundation from Hickman, like yours.
Oh, it's Hickman. That guy can fuck off.
Well, it was like a future older version of Franklin Richards, and Galactus was like his herald. It was great.
Well, what happened?
But sometimes Galactus is just too easy, right?
Yeah,
it's just too easy because he's Galactus. It's like Apocalypse, right?
Yeah,
it's huge. It's really easy to just say you throw out Apocalypse or Galactus. He's a great villain, you know. But there are some villains out there that are not really villains.
They're kind of gray.
They're not really heroes, but they're not really villains. They're
like Magneto.
Like the Punisher.
They're kind of
like
anti-heroes.
Like
you
the Punisher,
say.
Venom, in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Globo? They go in any direction they're pushed to whatever
they're
helps
in the gray.
Them move forward,
they're
right?
In the gray.
Galactus is more of a thing where I believe that, although it's been written really well, no one's really written it enough where the book should Galactus storyline should end was just Galactus and nothing else, right? Because he's supposed to be almighty, devours all the world.
Well, he's God.
Yeah. So
he's a God.
So he should.
No, metaphorically.
Isn't he an elemental?
Yeah.
Or an eternal, I mean. Galactus was an eternal.
I think in the, well, he was one of the ones that, he was part of the Eternals that went up against Thanos during the Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
So he's not like he's not officially like
but metaphorically speaking, I believe when they introduced him, that whole storyline, the whole point was that he was God, you know. And he came to
where does Silver Surfer fit in there? He's a herald of Galactus.
Well,
so is he a villain?
Well, at first, yeah, he was because he was doing the dirty work of his master.
Well, I mean, he was a villain for like a hot second.
Yeah, and then when he realized the error of his way, I was like, oh, I didn't realize what I was doing was
wrong. I bet you don't even know his real name.
Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
Norrin Radd?
No.
No, that's not it.
No.
No?
No.
What is it?
Go ahead and tell him.
It's Northern. Northern. He had one of those hippie moms, you know? Raz.
I see.
Northern Raz.
I see.
Yes. That's his name.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think he really just tried really hard to make up.
All right.
You it did not work.
You're going to be under a bus.
I know. I didn't have anything better.
Do you know Galactus's real name?
Yeah, it's John Smith.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I thought it was Galen of Top.
No, John Smith, as
Galen?
In the...
Have you ever seen him without his helmet on?
You know, one time I did, he's like bald.
He's not real, Kevin.
Well, look, according to the Google...
Yes.
Sorcerer's real name is Norrin Radd, according to the Google.
According to the Google.
I thought I just said that.
You did.
Yeah.
So according to the Google.
Kevin is correct. All right. So we talked a little bit about Galactus. We're on track for that. But we need to move on. We need to pivot to another villain. So let's go with.
Sensational One.
Yep.
Okay. One of my favorite villains and one of the probably a villain who didn't come into his own really until. Frank Miller used him, is Kingpin.
Great.
With Amazing Spider-Man number 50.
Mm-hmm.
Number 50.
Yeah. Now,
that's the first appearance.
51 is a better cover.
That's true.
True. It's a he's on it. Professor 449 is a better cover than 48.
But I can tell you,
but there's nothing more iconic than 50.
Sean's going to tell you a little more about what his power was, but he was just such a like when you read it, you get a sense of
the charisma.
Charisma and how he towers over people.
Mr. Tanafia, I just see
his his strength comes from just his will to enforce his will on someone else.
He's Michael Corleone in the
country. Well, I think part of his one of his things, especially in the Miller stuff, if you read it, is how one step ahead he is of people.
He's always a chess player.
He's a chess player. He uses the strength is there, but the brawn is there, but the brain is also there.
Yes, very smart.
He's a guy who understands all the angles. He's always looking at the different angles.
Yeah.
For like, is this guy going to betray me? This guy? If I'm going to do this to this guy, how is it going to come back on me? So I make it so it doesn't.
One of my favorite scenes was I think it was Streets of Poison, where Captain America got addicted to drugs. It was so stupid, but it was great. And they did a final battle between.
Can his body really get addicted because of metabolism, because of his strength?
That's why, because it got him, like, it super addictified him. Like, it got him super addicted because of his metabolism.
Poor Steve Ross.
So I made up words. So basically then the Red Skull was trying to horn in on Kingpin's turf. So they decided the best way to fight it out. Red Skull agreed to this, by the way, was a fight in an arena, like at a football stadium or some shit,
Captain America versus Red Skull.
No. Kingpin versus Red Skull. So Kingpin pretty much takes off all his clothes, and Red Skull takes off all his clothes, and they fight in their underwear, basically. and the Kingpin just grabs the Red Skull eventually and just starts squeezing him, and that's it.
Could you hear the whole cable guy when they're at the...
Sometimes he bear hugged him.
Yeah, bear hugged the shit out of him, basically, yeah. Mm. Yep.
He's a bear of a man.
Bear of a man, yeah.
Yes, he is.
But,
great choice, though. Great choice in the character.
A great villain who probably would have been another has-been villain had somebody not realized the true potential of that character.
True, yeah.
For me, a lot of books come to mind. They just flood in my mind with a lot of books.
Break it to a Showtime.
I think I'm going to go DC. There's a Marvel character that I really cared for. I was going to go Marvel, but I think I'm going to go DC.
Come on.
And now he talked about a book that I would really like to bring up, which would have been Batman 121 for Mr. Freeze. But what I'm going to throw at you is a book that I'm not 100% remember the exact number of the book for the first appearance. It's The League of Shadows. I think The League of Shadows.
Yeah, Detective for something.
In terms of villain, in terms of not a singular villain.
But organization.
An organization I thought was not used enough. But I thought it was great. It was a great read. You know, Talia al Ghul, you know, Bane was part of League of Shadows. Ra's al Ghul, of course, right? Just huge. Like, there's so many things you could have done. And the read from that, I think that book on for like the next six, I think the next six books of that. Such a great read. And I think for me, The League of Shadows is something I would really like to see either a book solely about The League of Shadows or even a movie. Not necessarily a superhero movie, but a movie that kind of explained The League of Shadows.
I know, I agree with you, Showtime, because it'd be cool if you did a book and you go back into its past, you know, how they've affected history to see, you know, if they were, you know, hanging out with Alexander the Great, how they may have influenced, maybe they helped bring Alexander the Great to power or something.
How they began. When they first began, and like you said, in each era, what they did to influence the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they got to a point, because I guess you could say that the League of Shadows was kind of the reason why the Waynes they were murdered, which basically created Batman, right? Mm-hmm. In a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And how Batman and Talia got together, had a child, and then you get Damian Wayne, right? And it just rolls on from there. But in the movies, you don't get to see that. We saw a little bit of League of Shadows. Small bit.
Batman Begins.
But they got rid of Ra's al Ghul too quickly. I thought they could have used him even further.
Especially in the third film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. And he's fantastic. He's one of my favorite Batman villains. And particularly because he wasn't a villain so much as he was like, he saw.
He was an ideologue. They essentially used.
He's living his truth.
The Thanos. The idea of Thanos.
Yeah,
the
Thanos exactly. Idea. He saw. Well, I or mean, Magneto, the movie version of Thanos.
Yeah, that's
he saw the future and he was like, my God, if we don't stop we're going to destroy this planet. And so, but the only problem was, is he was like, I need to hand choose, you know, who lives and who dies. And that's where it becomes a problem.
In that world, in that movie was Ra's al Ghul the League of Shadows, or was he within the League of Shadows?
He was within. I believe he was within.
No, I know we know it should be, right?
Yeah.
But when you watch that movie, most people who don't know the storyline felt they just think it's Ra's al Ghul and his League of Shadows.
Right.
But we all know that Ra's al Ghul was just a component of the League of Shadows at the time.
Kind of like the Hell's Fire Club and the X-Men.
Sebastian Shaw
and the White Queen, Black Queen, all that
another
stuff.
Another great villain, very well.
Yeah,
matter of fact, remember on the Real Short Box on the our Versus series, our what was it called? Oh, good Lord. The Superhero Smackdown.
Yeah.
I think we had a matchup, Sebastian Shaw versus Ra's al Ghul, right? I think Jared did that.
I think we did. And Ra's won, Jared, right? Or was it Sebastian? I don't know. I argued for Ra's.
I think Sebastian won. I think Jared had Sebastian winning by just a
little. Yeah, probably. Yeah, because he's more of an X-Men.
So you want, you know, like the beginning story of the League of Shadows. Would you rather have that live action or animated?
Well, so you remember the new Batman just came out. The new Batman that just released with, what's his name?
This chair is the worst. I'm moving out of this shit. This chair sucks.
What was the guy's name?
Stop squeaking.
Can't remember his name now.
So the latest Batman just came out, bitch, right?
Chair.
It was more of a detective
Robert movie. Patterson.
Robert Patterson. It was more of a detective movie.
Batman.
The League of Shadows would be great in more of a detective style. Even if it was a series, like a Netflix or
HBO Max.
A series where you would do the League of Shadows where you would see how it was more of a crime family, right?
Yeah.
And then you would bring in towards like the middle or around the end of the show, you probably would bring in Batman in there, but you would have the League of Shadows just be crime versus the police.
Boy.
And how the police just can't match up to the amount of crime the League of Shadows is doing. And then you would bring in Batman at some point.
See, I think the right way they would do it is, I don't know if you guys ever seen a show called Warrior that's like written by Bruce Lee, and then they try to steal it. Mm-hmm. Doing something like that live action, like starting from like whatever era you think, like Romans or Egyptians, like kind of like, you know, going down the line, how they just want to fix the civilization, but they want to fix it in, you know, extreme matters.
Yeah, so like in terms of like, for me, a villain would be the League of Shadows completely, but if you had to pick one within the League of Shadows, it'd be Ra's al Ghul.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, that's an excellent choice.
And now we go to the scandalous one, the original Donald. What is your choice, sir?
House of Secrets number 61.
Uh-huh. No, that's an interesting choice.
First appearance of Eclipso.
Ooh, that's out there.
It was Bruce Gordon was the guy's name. And he was basically a scientist that was studying a solar eclipse. Why he was in a jungle studying the solar eclipse, I don't remember. But he was in the jungle studying a solar eclipse when a dark wizard named Morpher pops out and attacks him. And they get into this big fight. And he overtakes Morpher. And Morpher he falls backwards off this cliff. But he has this black diamond in his hand. And he scratches his cheek with it as he's falling. So basically just cursing Bruce with the Eclipso curse. So what happens then, every time that there's an eclipse, he turns into this maniacal demon-like entity that just is hell-bent on havoc and creating more of him, more eclipsed people that he can control. Wow. So basically it's like a zombie virus, but with like a kingpin. You know, like with a head honcho, with Eclipso.
Yeah. He's like the Pied Piper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or the DC character with the Starro, in a way.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yes. So Eclipso's always been something that I really was fascinated with, because as he kind of got more advanced and more thought out in the DC universe, they kind of retconned him a little bit, and they made him into the original Wrath of God. Before the Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, before the Spectre, there was Eclipso, but when God gave him his wrath and told him to go and go forth and, you know, do this, Eclipso got out of hand. And he was like, well, no, I want everybody to work for me. So he wanted to be his own God using God's powers. And so then that's why he was then taken off the God's wrath throne, so to speak, and the Spectre then was created. And so Eclipso technically is as powerful as the Spectre, which I always thought was super cool. I always loved the Spectre. But finding that out and them adding that to the journey of Eclipso, I thought was so cool. I love the character. I think it's super cool. Super fucking hard to find in high grade, too, by the way. Let me tell
Even
you that.
Even in mid grade is hard to find.
Yes. 1963. Best I could do was I got a 3-0. And it looks fine. You know, it's not in amazing shape, but yeah, I was happy with it. I was just happy to find the first appearance of Eclipso, period, because it's not, you're right, it's not an easy book.
It's not a out there book.
Yeah, it's not a book that anybody cared about, period.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love the character, and whenever he pops up, I always get it because I'm super stoked. Even I think it was Keith Giffen that wrote the run of Eclipso in the 90s when he did that, and Bart Sears, I think, did some of the art. It was cool.
With
it was awesome.
Annoying jewel place on
yes,
the
front cover. With that cover with the plastic jewel on it. Yeah. Yeah, that was the miniseries. And then it spawned, a 12 or 13 issue regular series that was eventually canceled because it's Eclipso, you know. But the fact that they took that chance was pretty amazing to me. What do you got, Kevin?
I have one of the greatest villains of all time. Top three for sure. Victor Von Doom. Fantastic Four number 5. A lot of people make fun of my copy of it, but I don't care. It's a low-grade copy, but it's a great copy. It's a great villain. You cannot go wrong with, and hopefully one day, fourth time will be the charm when they get to the next Fantastic Four reboot, that he has done justice, because he has not been done justice yet on the silver screen.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of 50-50 for me, because the first one that they did was 100% a better rendition of him than the second.
The Roger Corman one?
No, the first movie.
So
the first
movie, Tim Story. Tim Story.
The first movie, right? The first movie, the guy who played the actor was
Julian McMahon.
Was okay.
Yeah.
But the suit and everything fit. Right. How he ended up in that direction. The second one wasn't so good. I did like the actor better.
Right.
But didn't like how he became Doom and all that.
Right.
So I think they got the actor right and the suit right in two different ones. And I do. I think I prefer Dr. Doom when he got that white suit. What's it? It's
Oh yeah, Doom God, basically.
Mm-hmm. Doom God.
You know the best thing about Doom
is that created by Jonathan Hickman.
What?
Not.
Let's
forget that. So the best, I'm saying the best thing, because that's not the best thing. The best thing about Doom, though, is that he's a perfect villain for any Marvel hero.
Yes.
Yes.
He was multifaceted. You could place him in an Iron Man book and it made sense because he had an iron suit. You could place him in a Doctor Strange book and it made sense because he knows wizardry and mysticism.
You could throw him in the X-Men even.
You could throw him in an X-Men book. It made sense because he was a power-hungry madman kind of, you know, in the X-Men were a team to overtake
you
that guy.
You could throw him in one of the Galactic books, put him in Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that.
Black Panther, Spider-Man, anything.
He could have easily
actually
been
was.
A herald for Galactus.
Oh, well, I don't know if he was.
He was.
Well,
technically,
he really was.
He stole the cosmic power.
Yeah. All right, we got time for one more. So let's all collectively think if we could think of one. Collectively. What do you think, guys? What do you think? Think in your head. And then we'll all say it at the same time.
I guess the one book that none of us could ever afford anytime soon, Batman Issue 1, I believe.
Oh, wait, are we doing that? Or
the Joker?
We're
going to the Joker?
I thought we were going to say it at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Kevin? Sal? Let's meditate.
Well, now I'm thinking the Joker.
Oh.
Fucked us.
Yeah. Good on Riddler, too. Good on Riddler, too. Detective Comics 140.
Well, I was going to say symbiote that eventually becomes Venom, but was, I thought, better when it was just a symbiote.
Okay, so here's what I want to see. I want to see the symbiote get a hold of the Joker.
Two different organizations.
I know, but that would be so cool.
I got a better one for you when I do it. Hey, that's it. That should be a cool crossover episode. We talked about like things we want to see. Like, for example, the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner with a Red Lantern ring on him, raging like a madman.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
That'd be freaking that scary be as good. Hell. That'd be frightening as hell.
Can he be, because I think... Great read, by the way. Can the Man-Thing be considered a villain?
Good question.
Yes. I mean, he who knows fear burns at the sight or touch, right? Mm-hmm. Of the man thing. Correct. So if this big motherfucker that looks like a monster bush tree just shows up in your backyard and you're scared, you burn?
Actually,
I thought it's supposed to be that they have to be guilty of something.
Yeah, yeah. I read the book.
Kind of like
I read the book.
Penister from
Well, then they need writer. To make a better tagline.
No, yeah, but I read the book, and in the book it explains that he who has fear of what he has done
Will
burn. So if he grabs you and you have committed a crime of some sort, and you're in fear of that crime, you will.
You know who has some of the best taglines is the shadow. The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Those who, you know, like, what's the other one? Evil lurks in the dark. Who knows what evil lurks in the dark hearts of men?
But the shadow knows.
You know, that kind of
stuff. Is that the Alec Baldwin one?
Is Moon Knight a villain?
He was, right?
His first appearance.
Because he fought Werewolf by Night, if I recall.
He was a mercenary.
Yeah. He was not a nice guy. Plus, some of his personalities are not nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were learning that a little bit in the TV series. And I think we're going to get a little more in season 2.
I think you can say the Punisher a villain.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. He could be a villain. Yeah. Very easily. Yes.
Who do you think would be a good Dr. Doom? As if you could pick any actor right now to play Dr. Doom, what do you think would be?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh my God! Reeves? Get out of here!
No way!
I don't know. It's tough because
Richards.
I would prefer to have a great story.
Kylo Ren supposedly is up.
For yeah, I'd, yeah. I'd rather have a great story
supposedly
than a great actor. That's the key.
So me personally,
yeah,
Henry Cavill. I think
he would gonna say that,
bro. I think he would nail Dr. Doom.
You want to get nailed by Henry Cavill?
He is.
Henry Cavill's kind of boring. He's just.
Have you seen him in The Witcher?
Yeah, he was okay. Have you played the game?
No, but I'm saying he's okay.
Of The Witcher?
Yeah.
Dr. Doom requires a charismatic figure.
He played The Witcher crazy.
If he was younger, because obviously they're going to go young, right?
Right.
Maybe 30.
The answer for me would have been Fassbender.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he would have thrown in a slight European accent, not a heavy one,
right?
But just slight,
right?
Let's just say.
Plus, he's got that snobby.
What about Mads Mikkelsen?
Mads would be great, but I think
a little younger.
Just say the same thing.
Yeah, same with the age.
What's the guy's name who plays Venom?
Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy.
I actually would want to see that just to see what voice he
is. Yeah, he's good at everything. Just get Tom Hardy.
But he's not even tall.
I want to hear what his voice is.
So you want Nick Cage?
You got this reckoning.
Because Nick Cage just makes up voices all the time.
Well, no, but Tom Hardy put some Tommy thought into so it.
And no one said Bane. Bane, great villain. Great.
Yeah. Oh, he's briefly mentioned.
Well, Bane is basically the kingpin.
Yeah. But,
pretty much.
But I think we've kind of wrapped it.
Yep, that's good. That's good. Thank you.
There's
all
no
for
more villains
in.
Out there.
Yes, yeah, we're done. We've done the whole
list. Maybe we'll do a part 2. Who
probably
knows?
Should. Thank you to Big Sal for being a special guest on tonight. Thank you to everybody else out there listening. Thank you to our sponsors, Splattered Frog Brewing Company and Hass Hot Sauce. We appreciate you guys. So check them out if you can. Go to their websites. You know the websites. Just go to them. Enjoy their stuff that they have to offer. Enjoy the fruits of their loins, right?
Don't.
No, that's not it.
Loins. Don't yeah, consider don't them the loins. Villains
Never mind.
In your story.
There's no loins.
It's like
involved.
Saying enjoy their dick.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Enjoy their dicks. No, thank you guys for tuning in. And if dick we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the dastardly, villainous, and swindling comic book shop.
Not this one, though.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.